This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the Nutters Club. Previously on the show in the first hour, Mr. Robert Reed, Rob to his mates, and his young son Slade have been joining us here in the studio live, talking about Rob's postnatal depression. Yes. Men can get postnatal depression as well. Rob, essentially, though, has summarised for us that he found that having a strong network of good people around you meant that he was able to deal with it and the issues that it throws up for him. It's actually allowed him, though, to continue on being a fine solo dad to young Slade, who, in all honesty, is one of the happiest children I have seen in some time, and that's actually saying something, considering today I was at a children's movie and there was a lot of kids there demanding more popcorn, more frozen cake. But not young Slade. Slade's just been an absolute joy to have in the studio tonight. I think we should have bring your kid today, work day more often. I might bring mine to some point. I think they wouldn't thank me for it, though.
I think I might just start bringing Lego. Because that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, yes. And so Kyle, if you've heard Slade in the background, Kyle's actually just been playing Lego on the ground here in the studio most of the show. That's all right, though.
Yeah, I can listen at the same time.
Multitasking. Mm. Who said it can't be done by fellas, eh? So look, now on this point of the show, I would like to invite your call. So 0800 80 1080, you may have a question for Rob around postnatal depression, depression in general. You may have a question for Kyle. He's, of course, a clinical psychotherapist, so you're more than welcome. Or if you've got your own story of depression that you'd like to share with us, that'd be great. And especially if it's around, you know, being father and being able to sort of handle the mental illness that you may have to suffer that while at the same time needing to be strong enough for your kids. I think that's a very good topic to be talking about. So give us a call, 0800 80 1080. We have got a couple of callers on the line, so if you want to get in there, now would be the time. So let's not muck around. We'll head right back into it. Josh, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, man. Rob, I'm so intrigued of this postnatal depression for us guys. I'm not a father myself, but I have a brother that has a couple, a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, and there's a lot of trouble in the house without saying too much, and he's been wearing it, like, seriously wearing it. Don't want to go too much into sort of talking about it, but just if you could tell me, like, what sort of you've been going through. I'm not a parent myself, like I said, it's my brother, and just, you know, he's really been struggling and, like, literally doing everything around the house. Can't please his, wife, just completely just beside himself. And he's literally, I thought I was the nutter, but he's close behind me. So, any advice would be with, well taken. He's probably fast asleep, wakes up early. If you could pass on anything that you could pass on to me and everyone else listening, I would love to hear it and pass it on.
Yeah, no. Sorry to hear that he's going through that, for starters. I can relate to quite a bit of that. You know, especially now being solo dad, doing all the stuff around the house, it definitely takes its toll. I think the biggest thing is talking. Yeah, you can hear me, mate. Sorry, Slade's sitting next to me. I think the biggest thing is, I guess, giving him that space to talk. Where possible, try and relieve some of that burden, I guess. But I know, you know, we all have our own lives. We all have our own stuff we're trying to do and get by ourselves. You know, where him and his partner or wife, couples counselling can be a huge help. I've done that with a previous relationship and found it actually really, really helpful. Didn't save us in the end, but it was definitely hugely helpful in helping us actually learn to communicate.
Right.
I think it's really important to sort of adjust expectations too. I mean, one of the things that I find often talking to new dads is that there is, you know, there is this sort of fairy tale expectation that, you know, particularly obviously, planned pregnancies. Uh-huh. You get pregnant and it's all supposed to be sort of excitement and, you know, joy and bliss. And actually it's really tough. It's really tough on your relationship. It's really tough on even just the pregnancy. Things change a lot. I think the kinds of pressures that men often feel is around the need to earn and, you know, be the breadwinner while mum takes some time off. And often I think the other thing which is often really underrated, because we don't talk about it enough, I think it's really tough on dads having to go to work when baby's born, because actually a lot of dads just want to be there 24/7, just like mums do. So there's lots of different pressures. But yeah, it is about communicating, but I also think it's about particularly looking at what your experiences having been parented are, what your expectations of being a parent are, and finding ways to get as involved as you can, because dads can feel shut out a lot of the time, and actually just getting in there, changing nappies, doing all the stuff, everything that you can, with particularly in those early months.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially in those younger years, I know with myself, you know, I almost felt useless because, you know, the mother was, I was working at the time, but the mother was, you know, changing all the nappies and all of that. But little things I found were things like, you know, being able to go get her a glass of water when she's run down and tired and needs some energy.
Food,
just little things.
Support crew.
Yeah, but it also sounds like in this situation that your brother is doing, trying to do everything.
Everything, bro.
To try to take all the pressure off.
He's like an octopus, yeah.
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 And that's where I think that communication line between him and her is potentially a big part of that. And I know, you know, when there's these struggles, it becomes really hard for them to communicate without arguing. That was, you know.
Especially when the family gets involved, being a brother, it's like you want to help. You want to go and, like, put your 2 cents in, but it can be the worst thing. And then all hell breaks loose. It can just be, like, one word. I mean, you guys know, and everyone listening, it can just be just the smallest thing. I've got a painting in my house that the small things matter. And it's just the smallest thing. It's just, like, toothpaste cap being left off. And it's just all hell breaks loose. Next minute, the brother's over here with a bear, and it's just, you know, it's crazy, and it shouldn't be. But I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't understand that whole sort of dichotomy. But I, going through, you know, anxiety and, you know, panic attacks, I can understand the mental state he's in, and you know, it's really hard. I just want to say, like, you know, like maybe she needs, you know, he needs, or you know, to get something to calm himself down for that period of time, because there's obviously a chemical, you know, imbalance or reaction or hormones and things like that, you know, happens, you know, during that time. And he and she need to ride the storm out, basically. And I, you know, from what I've learned over the last, nearly 2 decades, is really the most important thing is be kind to yourself.
Absolutely, Josh.
We really beat ourselves up, and I see my bro doing that, and I'm just like, dude, just literally just chill. And he loves his kids so much, and you know, I love my nephew and nieces, you know, as well. And it's the focus on them, you know, the change I see in him and her.
Yeah, you can end up losing yourself in it.
Yeah.
I know I went through a big stage of that, where you know, I actually lost who I was, because I became was dad.
That's no longer exactly my brother. Yeah, it's exactly who, that's what I'm seeing now. It's like not my brother. It's this other guy I never knew. It's like, what the hell?
So something that helped me with that, before I had my son, you know, I was a big-time gamer. I spent a lot of time gaming. I used to actually run a YouTube channel and the whole works. And one of the things I found that helped, I guess, me re-find who I was going back to that. So whether there's something that your brother used to really enjoy doing, that you can encourage him to try again. And you'll probably find that he'll be resistant to that at first, because he's like, oh, I don't have the time. I've got too much else to do.
That's what he says a lot. Yeah, he's like, I'm so busy, and it's like 5-minute chats, and I've got to go. It's like, oh, shit.
Matter of making time for self is a big, big part.
This is a very negative way of saying it, but I often say to people that the thing with parenting, if you're lucky enough to be co-parenting together, particularly, is the law of equal suffering. So you have to accept that everybody is going to suffer when you've got kids under, you know, 2 or 3 years old. The thing you have to make sure of is that everyone is suffering equally, because you're never going to have enough time to do all the things you want to do anymore. But as long as everybody feels like they're missing out around about the same amount, then you're okay. And when couples in particular, I think, end up feeling like one's missing out more than the other, that's when you get into trouble.
And that big C word, compromise, comes.
Yeah, and communication too, another big C word.
Communication, yeah, another C word, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not a parent yet, but I see that. It makes me not want to be a parent, but I'd love to have kids at some stage. But he wouldn't change it for the world, if you ask him.
Josh? I'm just thinking here, mate, like, you know, you've described your brother in really positive terms, but maybe just make sure that, you know, rather before he comes to you, you know, just like preemptively tell him what an awesome job you think he's doing as well, because I can tell you it will mean the world to him, you know. I mean, and I'm sure you're already doing it, but just saying, you know, just say, man, you know, you really impressed me about how awesome you are at doing this dad stuff. It'll help him no end.
You know, I've never thought of that. I've never. Is Hamish right?
Am I right, Kyle?
Yeah. No, Hamish is always right.
Yeah. No. Okay. I don't know. Okay. But no, seriously, I've never done that. It's always been like, because, you know, your family is, you know, you're always on the, well, maybe the offense or defense or whatever. But, yeah.
Well, we have habits, don't we? We have habits when it comes to things.
Yeah, exactly. But that sounds really, really good. That's great advice for everyone, including myself listening. If you have someone like that, and I'm going to take that to the bank, to accentuate the positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Don't wait for it to be a bad day. You know, make it a good day from the get-go.
Hey, man, that sounds great, man. That's great advice. I love that.
Oh, you're welcome, Josh. I'll send you the invoice later.
Awesome, bro. You guys have a good night, eh?
No worries, mate. You have a good one.
No worries, man. See you, man. Bye.
Cheers, bye. All right, if you want to get a question into Rob or Kyle or myself, give us a call. 0800 80 10 80 is the number. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. I think that was it. Nothing else coming. No. No Nutters Club singing. You're supposed to be this little thing that goes, the Nutters Club.
I like the one with the xylophone, the ding.
The ding at the end. The ding is a very good one. That's got to be a favourite. Welcome back to the show. Anyway, so, Rob, you know, and having these networks that have extended all around the world, I just wanted us to talk a little bit about, especially people from India and the Middle East getting in touch, because, like I said before the news, these are very conservative countries, especially when it comes to, you know, mental illness. And that's saying something, considering, you know, we still are battling that in a country as, you know, and I will say, as liberal as New Zealand, you know, we in the international sphere of things, we are fairly liberal. So what sort of stuff are you talking to them about? I mean, what are they asking you?
One of the very, very common ones we have, and it goes actually really along the lines of what you were just saying, is in their religion or in their culture, to even think about, let alone voice, thoughts of suicide, can not only have yourself, but your entire family shunned. So their worry is that the thoughts and what's going on inside them is going to become so, I guess, publicly apparent that it's going to affect their entire wider family, and they need to, but they still need to find a way to cope and deal with it so that it doesn't get to that point.
I think the fact that they're even, you know, reaching to somebody in New Zealand, which, you know, if you've ever travelled, you realise once you get outside of this country that no one really knows, and we're so insignificant on the global stage. But the fact they're reaching out to you, you know, these are people who are obviously in quite desperate situations themselves.
Oh, definitely. And I think one thing that I guess I set out when I first kind of took the page in this direction was I've never, I guess, made it too obvious or apparent where we're based. I mean, I've got, on my admin team currently, we've got a few admin from different parts of the United States and New Zealand, and I think we've still got an Australian in there. But we've also had ones, we've had admin from the UK, we've had, we had one admin at one point, I'm trying to remember the name of the town. It was a little like offshoot, like just out of the central France setting. And it was just a nice little cottage town. Like when you have that picturesque of, you know, all the little cottages down the little lanes, that's where they were from.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, so one thing I've tried to do is not, I guess, single us out as being a New Zealand-based page, because to me, this issue isn't just New Zealand. I mean, we have a major issue here, but it's a global issue. It's hitting people worldwide, regardless where they're from, what their background is. You know, suicide, the common line, you know, suicide does not discriminate in any way, shape or form.
And that doesn't just stay to you know, economic status or gender. It goes right across, you know, countries and cultures.
You start bringing in if you want to look at when they try to say that, you know, the lower economic class are more prone or likely, I guess, to go down that line. Then you look at the names of some of the big names recently. You know, you got Robin Williams, you got Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell. These guys are multimillionaires.
Mm.
Who are living their dream, being, you know, rock stars and actors and these kind of things, and it still hits them.
You know, I was just thinking about that the other day because one of the films I loved to watch, you know, favorite film as a kid was Aladdin. And I don't know if you know this, and anybody out there, Aladdin is an animated Disney film from the early 90s, and they actually, when they approached Robin Williams to voice the genie, he actually said, "I'll do it on one condition, and it's that I don't have to stick to the script." And most of it was improvised. As the genie was improvised. And now you just think about that and you think, my God, you know, what a genius.
Yeah.
Like a comic genius. And also too, an actor who could have incredible gravitas on screen when he wanted to have his more dramatic roles.
Mrs. Doubtfire, anyone?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy was hilarious. But then to even think even somebody with that high amount of profile and, you know, genuine joy that he'd given to the world was still prone to being, you know, deeply taken by depression, which ended him losing his life.
Yeah. You know, I think
where we're at with it.
One of my favourite quotes, and I can't remember the quote exactly, but it was from Robin Williams, who said that, you know, those that are battling will do everything they can to make people laugh and happy. Because that's what they're missing. They don't want others to feel how they're feeling.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, if you want to get your calls in, 0800 80 1080 is the number to call. Rob's going to be here until 1 o'clock, and I've still got Kyle currently.
Are you under the desk there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah, he's under the desk entertaining our youngest member in the studio tonight, young Slade. But we'll go to Mark on the line now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Aladdin was a movie way before the 1990s from Disney.
No, it wasn't, mate. No, sorry on that one. 1992.
Are you talking about the animated movie?
Yes, we are. The Disney animated movie.
Was that 1992? They never made anything before that.
Oh, look, if they did make an Aladdin movie...
It wasn't Disney.
It wouldn't have been Disney. No, the Disney one, the one that had Robin Williams as the genie, was early 90s. I'm just having a look now to find out exactly what it was. I think it's about 90...
I remember seeing a movie of Aladdin when I was at Blockhouse Bay Primary.
Well, there possibly was one, but it would have...
There definitely was.
No, I had it right. 1992 Disney. Yep.
Boom. Disney 1992.
Can I be
Thank
on
you
your pub
that.
Quiz team, Hamish?
Yes, you
yeah,
can be on the pub quiz team. Mark, how are you anyway?
Well, I'm fine, and my motto in life is I like to try and have fun, but stay out of trouble. I like to have fun, but stay out of trouble. And... But unfortunately, I got into a bit of trouble about 2 weeks ago. I went down to my mailbox and I had a letter from the New Zealand police and I had another letter from Auckland Transport. And when I got inside, I opened the both of them and I was caught on quite a large suburban street travelling at 74 kilometres an hour, 24 over the speed limit.
Uh-oh.
But I remember it was around 1 a.m. in the morning and I was rushing to get somewhere. And it's quite a large street, so you can easily, you know, go up to 74 without real... Well, not really, but if you know what I mean, we all do it. And but anyway, the other fine from Auckland Transport was I was travelling along Parr Road and I specifically remember because... I looked ahead of me and I saw this big oak tree and the leaves sort of come across the road. So I wouldn't have seen that cameraman until I got past that tree. And by that time, it was too late. And I was travelling in a T3 lane with only two passengers in the car. And I had to pay Auckland Transport $150 for that. And the police fine was $170. So I was really depressed when I had to go to the Westpac Bank and hand over $320, which I can barely afford. But I tell you what, it's made me keep my speed down. Since I got that speeding ticket, I have honestly stuck to 50 and have never gone over again. And, you know, driving at 50, I've actually saved a lot more petrol in the car. The more you put your foot down on the pedal, the more you use your gas up.
That does, you know, that is what tends to happen with cars, Mark, yes.
Yeah, and you know what makes me, what I've sort of found out? Sometimes people, if you notice, people will speed and not realise that they're like 10 over. But you have to be careful because on all of the streets, most of the streets in Auckland, the police have got these cars, these unidentified cars and these unidentified vans that have cameras at the backs.
Yes, yes, I've seen
them. And honestly, they're everywhere now. But, you know, you should stick to the road rules and, you know, you shouldn't speed. And if you do speed, you shouldn't be driving, as plain as that. They're trying to save lives. That's what they're trying to do, aren't they?
And that's why, thanks to your story, I will not drive home at 210 across Tamaki Drive tonight.
Man, what sort of car are you driving?
Oh, I get to borrow Mike Hosking's Lambo. He just leaves the keys for me down there just as long as I return.
Oh, Mike's a good man. I enjoy Mike Hosking on 7, is it 7 Sharp?
He is usually on 7 Sharp and News Talk TV. He hasn't been very well lately, so he's been having
My dad, George, he likes Jack.
Oh, okay.
Jack Tame.
Good man.
Yeah, he said Jack Tame, he's a real winner. And I believe in that because, you know, he's come a long way from when he first started and now he's really up there, isn't he?
Oh, he's doing well. You're a real winner too, Mark. I'm very happy to hear.
What was your question on the side that you're asking everybody?
We were asking them about, you know, coping with depression and especially around fathers, you know, fathers who are dealing with depression and mental illness, how they do it and still fulfill the role, really.
Well, I agreed with what you said earlier, with what the man said in the studio, that if you have a lot of good friends around you and, you know, you can ring your friends and telephone them or whatever and have a conversation with them, you know, that really helps. Having good people that you know are thinking about you also. And I agree with what you said, Hamish, about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Mark. Always good to talk to you, mate. Thanks for the call.
Slow down, Mark.
Yeah.
I will slow down. I'm really enjoying life. And as I said, I like to have fun, try to have fun and stay out of trouble.
Yeah, all right. Well, it sounds like you've had enough trouble for the rest of the year anyway.
I've had a few beers tonight.
Yeah, have you?
I'm on about my 7th Lion Red.
Lion Rouge. All right, mate. I'm going to leave you to
Lion Red, the best beer in the world.
Oh, no, you should be paying for that ad.
Lion Red.
Catch you later, Mark.
Bye.
We'll take a break. When we come back, I've got Diane on the line.
This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Good morning, Diane.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. They're not really what you're talking about at the moment. But
that's okay.
It's on the same line. If you've got schizophrenic and you drink, that becomes quite bad, doesn't it?
It's not great.
No. Well, we've got a fellow on our street, and just about every night, at least once a week, if not, that's at the very least, he's taken away by the cops because he goes around the neighbourhood in his, like, vicinity and he screams and yells, he threatens people of all ages, grandmas, granddads, young mums, he threatens the children, and every week they take him away, sometimes 2 to 3 times in 1 week, and they bring him back, or he comes back the next day and carries on. He's living alone. And we're all at our wit's end of what to do because he's threatened to kill, he's threatened to burn houses down, he's threatened to rape the kids. Little girl there, you know, she's only just started school, he's threatened to rape her and
Well, I mean, Di, I mean, it's bloody awful for a start, but this is obviously somebody who's, you know, suffering from mental illness and needs help. I mean, he needs to have professional intervention in that regard, and needs to have some support around him. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, to be fair, because there's, you know, there's a whole system that he needs to engage in. But you're saying that the police are involved and they're taking him away at times, but he's then being returned?
Yes, they take him away, keep him overnight, and he comes back the next day and does it all over again.
Right, and probably in so much as he's being released back because he's actually not done anything. And I'm just going to say he probably, I mean, I don't know for certain, Diane, but it sounds to me like he may not if he's been doing it for a long period and hasn't actually acted on any of it. But I mean, again, I mean, I'm only sort of speculating on a situation I don't really, you know the ins and outs of. But it does sound to me like someone who is suffering, you know, from mental health issues and needs support, really.
Well, yeah, he does, but it's only when he gets on the drink
that it gets really bad.
Yeah, and he gets really bad. And
Have you thought about reaching out to him and, you know, just like going and seeing him and having, you know, just have a chat with him when he's not on the drink?
When he's not on the drink, he apologises. He talks nice. He says, "I don't mean it," da da da. You know, but that's okay while he's sober. But as soon as he gets drunk again, he comes out with all the stuff again.
Well, look, here's an idea for you, and I'm going to suggest that you don't do this on your own. Maybe see if you can get, you know, you and another neighbour together. But why don't you say, "Hey, look, me and another neighbour are having dinner tonight. Why don't you come round? But there's one condition: we just, you know, we don't have any drink in our house."
And then, I don't think they'd have them on the property.
Because what I'm trying to do here, though, is like if you actually show somebody else that they can get through, you know, that everyone's not sort of against them, and you can invite somebody around and you just say, "I just don't want, you know, we just don't drink at our place, that's all." And he comes and he has one evening, at least that's one evening that, you know, he's not going to go off, and it might give him the confidence to be able to have more evenings like that.
Yeah, I suppose you could, but I know one of the chaps in the street, he used to be very good friends with,
yep,
as a child.
Yep.
And he was okay when he was a child. He's only just got like it when he became sort of, I don't know, young man, I suppose you'd call him. He's not how old now. He's probably in his 40s.
Okay.
And so, you know, he was reasonable with this one chap, but then he threatens the neighbour, and who is a grandma, and she's absolutely petrified of him. So he told the other chap, told him to back off and go home and that sort of thing, and he just stings the abuse now at this fella that he should be friends with.
Well, I mean, look, this is the thing with nutters sometimes. They I'm talking about this in a very inclusive and non-judgmental way, but they have good days and they have bad days, and they will say things sometimes that are a bit out there and could be, you know, can be threatening, can make people feel uncomfortable. But I will tell you this much, the easiest way for nothing to change is to do nothing. So I guess, and you're calling up saying, "What can we do?" My advice to you would be like, you know, take a punt, take a risk, but make sure that you look after yourself. But try and reach out to this person and show them some kindness, because it might be just enough to help them have the confidence to make some changes in their life. I can't guarantee you that's going to work, by the way, but that would be my idea to you.
But why is it that the police get called out every week?
Again, I don't know the ins and outs, Diane. I mean, I would say that he's actually, you know, it's not a, you know, for right or wrong, it's not a crime to walk around, you know, saying inappropriate things to people. That's not a crime. However, if you acted on those or anything, then, you know, that's different.
Yeah, I just think, well, threats are threats, aren't they? And if you threaten something really bad, like,
But I mean, if he's got a diagnosed mental illness, then that's going to be why the police are releasing him.
Yeah, but that's what happens, though, isn't it? Like, it's like suicide. If people say they're going to top themselves and people just ignore it and please say, don't be silly, blah, 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 and then they do, they come out and they say, oh, we should have done more, or we should have done this, or why didn't we see this? We're seeing now this guy is nasty. He's threatening.
But he's not nasty and threatening when he's not on the booze, is he?
Well, not that I know of.
Yeah. So I think that the thing here is that, you know, we can say that somebody should be doing something, but the answer is nobody is. And so if you've got the opportunity to actually try and, you know, reach out to this guy and keep him off the booze and just let him, then you know, try and give somebody an opportunity to see another way of doing it. But look, you know, over to you, Diane. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs, but, you know, just from the information you've given me, that would be my advice to you to take it as a first step.
Well, I do know that this chap has tried to reason with him before and tried to calm him down.
Oh, yeah, and it may not work every time, but you know what? You know, you just keep on trying and see where you're going to go, because it sounds like he's not going to be moving out anytime soon.
No, he's not, because he's just living in the house on his own. But I just wonder, if he did do something, it's too late, isn't it? They've got the cops. They've said what it's done. He's come several times. They've come several times, and then suddenly,
yep. Well, look, I mean, it's
wrong. He's killed somebody, or he's raped somebody.
Well, you can see that there's something here, and so, you know, that would be my advice to you to do it. You know, just to try and employ a bit of kindness and a hell of a lot of patience. And trust me, I know what I'm asking of you isn't particularly easy or particularly comfortable, but I would say that it's probably the only thing I can think that you can logically and rationally do.
Okay. All right.
Best of luck, Diane. I do hope that it gets better one way or the other, okay?
So do we. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
What is the time? Yep, I'll take a break and I'll come back and I'll be talking with Cherie.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Righty. Oh, good morning, Cherie.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I would like to speak to Rob.
He's right here. Time. I haven't let him go yet.
How you doing?
Hello, Rob. I did come in a touch late on your story regarding the custody battle that you went through. But, you know, that's hell. I know myself. And I know you were probably looking for more men that were suffering the postnatal depression with that battle too.
Not necessarily, Cherie. It's a shared all-inclusive show.
Yeah, across the board.
I wanted to, I had a situation in the last couple of years. I've been battling it too. And my ex of 18 years had been seeing someone else that I wasn't aware of at the time. But, She was fortunate for him. She was part of the mental health team in the court system, so that wasn't really good for me, because I think she encouraged him to do this and that, and he laid false charges on me of assault and things, and then a protection order and took my daughter, which was my only child in my life, and that's all that kept my depression at bay, you know, was her, living for her. So I was thinking about what you're saying, and I totally feel for you and for men in general, because I do know it's a majority, you know, men tend to cop it more. There's no doubt.
But as you've experienced, it does happen the other way around as well. I've heard of a few stories where mothers face, I guess, what we call the father's battle.
It is, and I don't doubt that at all. But I sort of wondered too if it's a mental health battle, like he used mental health against me. And also I felt, and I wondered if you did, it was sort of first in, first served, like he got in first with the accusations, I was guilty, and I had to prove myself innocent of ridiculous things, and it brought me so down.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to that. You know, for my situation, I guess I initiated the court process after trying to reason outside of court.
Yes,
and then, even though I initiated that process, the moment the accusations started flying, you're right. You know, you've got
those
to sit there.
Those first accusations stick like glue, and it doesn't matter if they were false. It's like whoever puts the first allegations forward, which I do find tends to be the mother, unfortunately. In my situation, it tended to be the father, but unfortunately he had a new person that was very well versed in the mental health and district court side of it, so I think she knew how it would go for me with the doc, you know, with papers and things, if she, you know, if he could use them, and he did.
Yeah, I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got when it came to dealing with the family courts was document everything, no matter how small or how minute you think it is. If you document every little thing, then you kind of cover yourself, and when those accusations do start flying, you know, for instance, you can get medical clearance from your doctor or that side of things, and you've got that clearance. Or if you are suffering from mental health issues, you've got the proof there that you are actively trying to get help, or you actively are getting help. I mean, that I had the mental health accusation thrown at me, and that, you know, my depression and my suicide attempt was going to, I was going to redo it, and I was going to put my son through it.
Exactly.
I was able to prove that I had gotten the help, and I'd followed through with the trying to get that help, that accusation almost got immediately rebuffed.
Is there a point, though, I'm probably getting to this too, is that I'm left with this residual anger that's hard to shake. Like, how dare you? You know I raised my girl well. Why did you go down that line? Why did you put our daughter through that? Like, how could you accuse me of those things? Like, you knew I was a good mum. And that you've broken up the family in such a horrible way now that it's hard to ever go back to where we could be amicable.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, you know, my situation got very, very messy.
I personally am not a person that ever understands how people ever go there, but it's sort of he took it there in the end, that horrible way, and that really upset me, because then you've just got to keep, following suit, as in, it was like paper after paper, I had to keep defending all the things he kept loading, and then another load, and another load, and it was just more lawyer's fees, and more stress, and more depression, and so now it's like, I just don't even know who this person was.
I can completely relate to that. But I think one of the things that I guess has really, I changed my mindset when it came to that, and it's really easy to say, and you'd think it would be easy to do, but it can be quite difficult, is doing what you can to keep the focus on the kids and what's best for them. You know, I've had to make some pretty tough calls of, you know, that go against my own normal beliefs, because it was what was in the best interest of my kid.
It's the old not throwing the kids under the bus.
It
happens all the time in custody battles, but
I completely agree. I never I'd ever be in that situation in my life. He also was someone that thought that he didn't understand why people ever got so mean and nasty, but gosh, it was weird. But it's shaking off the resentment and the... Yeah. But because you've hurt my child.
Yeah.
Because she was a teenager, and she's had started getting depression herself because it was getting messy, and it was somewhere, though, I never wanted to go, that he was dragging out. So I've got this resentment that you hurt my baby. It's a horrible thing to shake. On top of already having problems and depression, now that's coming out the other side, and there's been a settlement to it all now, and she started to come back home. I lost her for a good year there with, you know, he kept her because I couldn't get near her because he lodged false protection orders. So I was not allowed to go see her, not allowed to see her. And that hurts, that sense. And I don't know how the court, you know, like, it's just the system annoys me. Like, I just was trying to make that point of, it just seems to be the person that lodges the attack first seems to be correct.
Yeah, and I know from a lot of the fathers groups and stuff I'm on, there's a massive call at the moment to have the family court system looked at and massive reform done to it. But I think, you know, in time, this is something that I guess has given me a little bit of peace, so to speak. I mean, I'll still face it down the track. But as long as you can keep their focus on the kids, when they get to, I guess, understand what actually went on, and they realise that the whole way through it, your focus was them and what was best for them, they will recognize that, and they'll then see, you know, who did what without even having to, you, I guess, make the accusation. Or
it is the philosophy I've been going with, and she seems to be staying more and more with me. Yeah, so because whenever she needs me, I'm like, sure, babe, and I'll come and pick her up, or I'll come and take her here, and I'm always there for her.
Well done, Cherie.
Okay, well, thanks for talking. It's been a really interesting topic. So thank you, Rob. I appreciate that, because that was a real interesting take on things. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Cherie. Take care.
No problem. Thanks. Bye.
All right, we'll take a break, and then final caller of the night, Max.
The Nutters Club on Newstalk ZB.
Hey, just before I go to Max, I want to thank Red for all your text messages tonight. I'm not going to read through all of them.
I think we just about need another show.
We need a whole other show, but Red, you know what, mate? I love your text messages. It is like a commentary. I almost feel like I should post them on the Facebook page or something at some point. Red, let me know if that's okay.
With some of the ones you've read out, do it.
You obviously know the text number, Red, so let me know if that's okay or not. Max, good morning.
Good morning. There's a law that says that if you request to be seen by a psychiatrist, you must be seen.
Yes, we've had this conversation,
yeah,
Max.
We've done this, Max.
Yeah, have you checked it out? Have you found the law?
I haven't been able to find a law at all, no. If you have a link, I would love you to email it to me, message it to me at the Nutters Club page. I'd love to see what you've found.
What happened is I haven't got a computer.
Right. Well, go to your local library and tell them what you're up to, and they will give you nothing short of assistance.
Yeah.
Good man. Thanks for the call, Max. Right. So, Rob, before we leave you tonight, can you please tell us the name of your Facebook page, where we can find it?
So the name of it's really simple. It's Suicide Awareness and Prevention. It's on Facebook, so it's www.facebook.com/suicidepreventionawareness with one S. Because the 2S one was already taken.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the Facebook page, and that's literally where I've left the platform at this point. Is we've had people suggest going into other platforms, whether it be Twitter or Instagram, but we're sticking with Facebook at this point.
Good man. And how many users have you got on there at the moment?
I can tell you.
Oh, he's gonna dial it up.
I'm going to bring up the exact number right now for you.
8.6 is what it's rounding to, 1,000.
Yeah, it's 8,600 was where we hit this month already. So we're on average, we grow by about 100 new likes a week.
It's
in September, and ever since I've been running a particular, I guess, campaign on my page, which was Killing the Stigma, and it's getting people to share their personal stories. Ever since we started that campaign, we've been averaging between 400 and 500 new likes a week.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, we're sitting at 8,649 likes currently, and we average about a 50,000 reach on a week.
So, sounds pretty active. If people jump on there and want to chat to someone, someone will reply?
Yeah, well, we've got a team of, I believe, we've got 13 admin at the moment, and that's split between posting admin and messaging.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the messaging team is split up between admins here in New Zealand and the US so that we can cover most of the time.
Yep.
We can't guarantee an instant response all the time because we're all people that have got it our own lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But generally the response is pretty quick.
But it's a community, and, yes. And you know, and much like we have been here at the Nutters Club, you sort of find that people do find each other. You know, if you want to find those people to talk to and say, hey, look, I'm going through this. Is anybody else finding the same situation? And boom, outcomes and got some good results.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of almost the role of our posting team is to, I guess, initiate those conversations and allow them to happen because we try not to be too active in the comments sections on our posts.
Mm-hmm.
We try to leave that for people to comment. And the amount of times we see someone will post their story or something that's going on for them, and you watch the replies pour in to offering help or even just support and saying, you know, man, I so get what you're going through. If you need someone to talk to, flick me a message. And you see those things happen. Because, again, the area, the way we're coming from, is peer support.
Absolutely. And I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a 21st century version of the support telephone lines like Lifeline and things like that.
Yeah.
But also too, I would find sometimes, you know, the way that you interact with people, sometimes for a lot of folk, especially here on a talkback show, people get really nervous about talking to somebody, you know, actually talking to somebody. So sometimes just being able to send a message is actually a hell of a lot less confronting, and especially if you're you know, suffering, you know, anxiety and depression, you know, that can be quite a hard task to involve yourself in. So I think, Rob, what I really want to say is thank you for doing what you do. You know, it's such an important thing to do, and to be able to put your time out there, as well as obviously being very busy with the young man that everyone can hear making a little bit of noise in the background there. But it's very happy noise, isn't it? You've had a good time, haven't you, Slade? Yep, he's giving me a smile. He's even put we gave him some stickers and he stuck them around on the windows here in the studio. So it's been a bit of redecorating going on. I think that could be a little contribution.
It's brightened
to
up the place.
It's
brightened up the place.
Yeah, exactly. It has brightened up the place. So thank you very much, Slade. But I think the most important thing, Rob, is that, you know, you talked about having good people around you, and it's those people who, you know, I want to say thank you to as well for, you know, delivering you us to us today, a stronger Rob who's able to do what he does. So thank you so much, and thank you for coming into the show tonight.
And thank you guys for having me.
You're most welcome.
Us.
Kyle, thank you for being fantastic as always.
Next week. I'm bringing Lego myself.
You bring Lego yourself. Okay, right. Well, I think on that note, we're going to jump out of here. So make sure you're kind to yourself, be kind to others, and we'll see you all again next week here on the Nutters Club.
This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.